Now, this was about 30 years ago, but I'm still going to change his name to Willie. Willie was an interesting fella. He used to come to church. Every Sunday, he was without fail right there in the pews. He was without fail at meetings. He was without fail at Sunday school. He never missed. He was always there. Come good weather, bad weather, good times, bad times. I think the only time during my time of the pastor in that particular church that he wasn't there was when he was sick. And there weren't many of them, as he used to often say, and I kind of adopted this for my own family, especially my granddad. He used to say that when a bug bit him, the bug died, and that tended to be very true about him. He was always there. And one day I preached a message, and it was during Lent, and I preached on Jesus hanging on the cross, dying for the sins of the world, and he's hanging there, and he looks down, Jesus looks down, and he sees those who have put him there. The Sanhedrin members, essentially, the high priest. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. After the service was over and I was in the back and people were leaving, he comes up to me, Willie comes up, and Willie would often give me interesting commentary on the sermon, so I was wondering what I would get from Willie. He was a no-nonsense kind of guy. He comes up to me, he takes my hand, he says, well, preacher, he loved to call me that, preacher, I want you to know that right there's where I differ with the Bible. I said, what? He says, yeah, what is this business about forgiving them? They knew what they were doing when they put him up there. Wow. And that attitude was present and extended to all of this. When I preached on this passage, preacher, what do you mean? Forgive. What do you mean? Love your enemies. That's got to be impossible for us to do. And I understand what he's saying, because this is one of those passages that just kind of makes you squirm. Really, Jesus? Love your enemies? Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return? We don't do that. And that's what Jesus said. This is one of those passages that is both wonderful on one hand and difficult on the other. Wonderful on the one hand, and one of those that, quite frankly, sometimes I wish Jesus hadn't said it, because it places an obligation on me to behave differently, to act differently, to live my life differently, to approach others differently. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. Really, Jesus? Really? Really? Surely you can't be serious? He was. It's how he lived his life. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Come on, Jesus. Pretty quickly you're going to run out of cheeks and shirts if you keep doing that. When I was a kid, and I first heard this passage read in church, I thought that cheeks were that. That's what Mom used to call them. And so I, you know, turn the other cheek, turn the other cheek. You eventually run out of cheeks, right? We got these two, but then you're done. Give to everyone who begs from you. And by the way, that everyone there is not qualified. In other words, everyone means everyone. Uh-oh. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do not do to others as you would have them do to you. Well, let's take the first part of that first. Give to everyone who begs from you. Just like with the cheeks and just like the shirt, we're going to run out. Right?
And that last line, do to others as you would have them do to you.
The world teaches a slightly different one. Do to others before they do to you. But not Jesus. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Live your life open and willing and accepting of others. And treat others as you would be treated. That's a powerful calling. One of those passages that I'm glad and I rejoice that Jesus said. Amidst these passages that are difficult because I know I can't live up to this measure. I know I fail to love my enemies. I know I fail to do good to those who bless you. I know that I fail and curse those who curse me, not pray for them. And if this is not hard enough, Jesus keeps going. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even the sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who have done good to you, what credit is that for you? Even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners and receive as much again. Oh, come on, you mean I can't get brownie points for doing good things for and loving those who love me? That's easy. Nope. It's not. During Lent, we're going to talk about sin and the nature of sin and how sin functions and the reality of who is a sinner. But here, it's pretty clear that when Jesus talks about sinners, he's talking about all of us. Sure. It's nothing to love those who love you. It's nothing to give to those who give to you. It's nothing to give expecting to receive again, as much again back. Big deal. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For God is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. A tall order, but a calling that we are called to live. Forgiving others, praying for your enemies, praying for those who abuse you. I'll never forget the scene in Fiddler on the Roof when Tevye is chatting with a bunch of his friends while delivering milk. We get into talking about politics, and it gets pretty heavy, and one of them says, "God keep the Tsar." And then they all reply, "Far away from us," and then they spit. And Tevye has to cover his milk jugs to keep it from getting in there. That's kind of like we are. That's how we feel about our enemies. Lord, keep them far away from us. Sometimes the further, the better. Went to a gathering of clergy. This was back before the pandemic. And we were talking about the coming split of the denomination. And there was a group of them from the WCA over there and a group from Reconciling Ministries over here. And I'm gravitating around the Reconciling Ministries group, and we're chatting away. And the two groups are totally separated from each other. And we sat in separate places and had very little, if anything, to do with each other. Were we loving? Are we praying for? Other than to get them out? No. No. So I stand convicted along with most of us. This is hard to do. This way of life is difficult to do. Loving your enemies is not easy. Praying for those who abuse you is not easy. We want our pound of flesh back and then some. But Jesus calls us to love and to forgive and not to judge. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Wow. This may be one of the most important two sentences of Jesus' entire ministry. The word used by the biblical author here, the Greek word is krino, and it means to make a selection or to prefer one over the other. It means to pass judgment upon another and thereby seek to influence or control them. It means to criticize and find fault with and condemn others. It means to make a judicial or factual determination based upon evidence. It means to come to a conclusion after a cognitive process, i.e. to decide. And it means to ensure justice for someone who has been wronged. Now, not all of these sub-definitions are problematic. This word is not a bad word, generally speaking. But when it is applied to another as a form of criticism, it becomes problematic. When it is applied to others relative to eternal station or God's love for them, it becomes destructive. Be careful how you judge others, for you will be judged the same. And if you judge others critically, mean-spiritedly, unfairly, unjustly, you will be judged the same. That is essentially what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is reminding us that we are called because we have been forgiven of so much. We are called to forgive others. We're called to follow Jesus' own example from the cross. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And even if they did, forgive them anyway. This is a collection of sayings of Jesus that actually I am very relieved and happy that Jesus spoke. Because in them he reminds us that the life of a Christian, a life of a disciple of Jesus Christ, is a life that is supposed to be oriented towards sharing and giving, loving and accepting, forgiving and accepting forgiveness, not judging, not excluding. Not determining the fitness of others for eternity, but loving as we have been loved, forgiving as we have been forgiven, sharing as we have been shared with by Almighty God. We as people fail God repeatedly. We as people fail each other repeatedly, and yet we are called, as we have been forgiven by God, we are called to forgive others. Is it easy? No, it's not. But it's our calling as the people, as the children of God. It's our calling to give, forgive, love, pray for, and serve without regard to they being enemies or friends. We're called to love, serve, give, forgive others. These words of Jesus are amazing. These words of Jesus bring comfort in difficult times. These words of Jesus bring direction in difficult times. These words of Jesus give us our calling and our understanding that God has loved us and forgiven us and given to us so much, and we are called to love and give and forgive others. Let us be about that in this life. Let us share God's love, forgive, and serve as Christ's hands and feet and eyes and ears and lips in this world that so needs to hear the good news of God's love. And yes, we'll stumble. We're not perfect. Methodists like to say that we're moving on towards perfection. Wow, what a long journey that is. But so long as we're on the journey, moving towards perfection in God's love, we're going in the right direction. Let us do that and follow these words of Jesus and thank God that Jesus said them. In the name of the Father and of the Son.